Thank you, Bob. Never heard of three ships. You know, there's a lot of things I'm learning that I never knew before. Life just keeps bringing things your way that you just keep learning. We're learners every day. One of the things that is always a challenging for any pastor is, you know, it's Christmas. You've heard all of these Christmas messages before. So what in the world can I say to you today that you haven't heard before, or to get you interested in what is in the scriptures? And I go like, I'm not real sure. But I'm kind of preaching to the choir. But then there's always going to be somebody here who hasn't heard what God's word says about this wonderful coming of Jesus Christ. I invite you to stand as we hear God's word this morning. Where the message comes from, it is from Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, verses chapter 7, verses 10 through 14. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." Heavenly Father, I pray that as we heard probably this text many times, that you would open it up for us to see things that we've never seen before, and that you would touch our hearts in ways that we've never been touched before as well. Thank you for giving us your word that reminds us of this great, great event that was talked about so many centuries before, where today we understand it in a way that is something very, it means something very special to us. And if it doesn't mean something special to someone today, Lord, I pray that before the service is over with, that the light will go on and they will come to understand the truth that Jesus came for him or for her today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There are three important words that I just want you to be mindful of and to kind of keep in the forefront of your minds today. The word is sign, virgin, and Emmanuel. Those are the three words I just kind of want you to keep in the forefront of your minds today as we're going to talk about them as time goes on here. But first of all, I want for us to look at the historical background of what's going on in the verses that we just read together, or that I just read from the Bible from here this morning. The historical background has to do with King Ahaz, and he is given a tremendous opportunity by the Lord that he probably does not notice at this point in time. But God gives him a tremendous opportunity by giving him, saying that I will give you a sign. Just ask for any sign and I will do it for you. King Ahaz and the people of Jerusalem, they are being threatened by two other kings who are against them. And so at this time, you've got Israel is in two different groups. You've got the 10 tribes that are in the north kingdom, and you've got two tribes that are the southern kingdom, and that is Judah and Benjamin make up Judah. And they're the ones that are in Jerusalem, the southern kingdom. And so Ahaz, at this point in time, has already made a deal with the Assyrians to come and defend them if Ahaz has need of their protection and of their help. It's a lot like Ukraine. Ukraine and Russia needs a bigger stick. Somebody's got a bigger stick. And so they ask the U.S., will you help us against the Russians? Well, King Ahaz has already made a deal with Assyria, and the Lord comes to him at this time. Of course, the Lord would know that this has already happened, but he gives them the permission. He gives Ahaz the permission to ask for a sign. And like a lot of us, sometimes you go like, I'm looking for a sign. It reminds me of a farmer who was out in his field one day, and he looked up in the sky and he saw clouds that was, it says PC. And he says, I'm to preach Christ. And so he left the farm and he began to pursue the ministry, and he got to his first congregation, he gave his first message, and the person at the door said, how did you get into the ministry? And he said, well, very interesting. I was out farming and I looked up into the clouds, and the clouds showed PC. It said, preach Christ. And the guy said to him, I think it said plant corn. A sign. Sometimes takes a while for it to get to you. You don't understand that. They would look for a sign. And it's not every day that the Lord gives that permission for a sign. But here he does. There's only one other place in Scripture where God says to test him, and that's in Malachi, one of the last, I think it's the last chapter in Malachi, where God says to test him when it comes to tithing and giving of your finances to the Lord. Test me to see what I will do. That's another message for another time. But Ahaz responds back in kind of saying in a self-righteous way, I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test. He kind of puts on his holier-than-thou face. And he says, there's no way that I'm going to do anything like that. I'm not going to ask God for a sign, and I wouldn't even think of testing the Lord. But what has he already done? He's already signed a deal with the Assyrians that if he needs help, he's going to look to the Assyrians for that help. So he's just refusing God's help in his life as well as in his power to be that leader for Jerusalem. And so God says to him, tell me your need. Tell me your need and I will help you. That's really what God is saying. I mean, God comes to him and says, tell me what you need, I will help you. Oftentimes, we don't go there, do we? We just go like, I'm going to do it myself. I don't need anybody else's help. It's my problem. I got to deal with it my own way. But then God comes and says, hey, ask me and I will help you. You know, I just think of Shirley today. It kind of fits right with her. People want to help. And sometimes we just say, nope. And it's pride that keeps us from allowing people to help us. Isaiah comes and he speaks to Ahaz himself and says, you know, God has just given you this awesome opportunity to ask you for a sign, and you turned him down. Are you crazy? Why would you turn God down? If we look at a time in Jesus' life, we think of, go back to the Last Supper. Jesus is with his disciples. This is the night in which he's going to be betrayed. And he does something very special for the disciples. He says, come on, guys, I'm going to wash your feet. It's a sign of humility. And Jesus, being a servant, is showing up how much he loves them. And he washes all of the disciples' feet, even the one who's going to betray him, Judas Iscariot. Jesus is reaching out to Judas even by washing his feet that night. And not only then, but even at the mealtime, when Jesus says that one of you here is going to betray me, and the disciples all say, not I, it sure isn't me, I'm not going to do that. They all said they weren't going to do that. And then one of the disciples asked Jesus, well, who is the one that's going to betray you? And Jesus says, the one who takes his bread and dips it into the cheese sauce. I don't know what it was. And it is Jesus who holds out that dish to Judas, knowing that he is going to betray him. But it's also a way of saying, I love you, Judas. I care about you. And yet Judas did what he wanted to do. So we find, when you talk about one of the signs that are given here through the prophet Isaiah, a virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. We find that the word Emmanuel is also found in the 8th chapter of Isaiah, is in the end of verse 8, as well as is what Emmanuel means at the bottom of verse 10, at the end of verse 10. Emmanuel means God with us. And so this is a prophecy about the coming Messiah that is 700 years before it actually happens. And so it's a shadow of what is going to come. Just like with Abraham and Isaac in the Old Testament, Abraham waited 25 years for Isaac to be born to him and Sarah. And there's no way that they should even have children because they were past the age of even having kids. But God said, you will have a son, and he will become, as you know, your descendants will be as many as the stars in the sky or the sands on the seashore. And here he finally gets his son, and then God tells him one day, take your son to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him there. Abraham doesn't say, are you kidding me? Are you serious? Abraham takes his son. Along the way, it is Isaac who says to his dad, Dad, we got everything here, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham says, God will provide. They get to Mount Moriah. They set up, he makes the altar, puts the wood on there, and he goes, Dad, where's the sacrifice? And he puts his son on top of the wood in the altar. And as he lifts the knife up to kill his one and only son, he hears the rattling in the bush in the thicket nearby, which is a ram. And the God tells him to stop. Don't kill your son, but take that ram as his replacement. And that's a shadow. It foreshadows what happens with Jesus in the New Testament, where God does not spare his one and only son, but he goes to the cross and he dies there for you and for me. He saved Isaac from the knife and death, but God did not spare his one and only son. And this is the one that we are going to celebrate in just a little over a couple of weeks when we come to Christmas. So let us just kind of jump into the New Testament. And Roman numeral number 1, if you're taking notes, it is, what you find there is the sign. Let's look for the sign, because what he says here in Isaiah is something that only God can accomplish. Only God can accomplish the sign. And we go into the New Testament, and we find that, again, in chapter 1 of Matthew, Joseph is having a real problem here of realizing that his wife-to-be is pregnant, and he knows that it isn't because of him. And Mary has taken upon herself of saying to God, if this is what you want, I will let you do this in my life. And it's during this dream where an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph. And he says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. It's not you, Joseph, or any other man, but this is something that God has done and is doing in Mary's life. And she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So he tells them even his name. But what I want to point out here, too, is that this is the time before ultrasounds. Very specific prophecy that a virgin, someone who has never ever had sexual intercourse, will give birth to a son and name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The name Jesus is a lot like Joshua, which means to save. Usually, you do not name your child something other than what's in the family name. But here the angel tells him to name this boy that's going to be born. Even before he's born, you'll call him Jesus. Very specific. When we talk about the virgin birth, we have to always remind ourselves that this is a miracle. Only God could do this. And that's what makes Christmas, our Christmas, so special. That what takes place is only God can do this. It cannot happen in any other way. Mary was a young teenager at this time. Joseph was probably 19, but he's older than she is. And here they are, pledged to be married. She is found pregnant. Joseph is thinking of a way to silently divorce her, doesn't want to put any kind of shame upon Mary. And yet it takes a dream, an angel to come and talk to him in a dream to tell him what's going on. Men are a little bit slow in figuring things out. And so when we sleep a lot, ladies, God could be talking to us. Okay? It's not just, are you sleeping again? No, God's talking to me. The conclusion, we have to go back to ask this question. Are you here today, and do you believe what Isaiah is saying, and as we see it, how it is fulfilled in Matthew? Do you believe this, or are you like Ahaz? Where Ahaz said, I'm still going to trust in other people, and I will do it my way. I don't need to listen to God. The Assyrians eventually whooped all of Israel and Judah and carried them off into captivity. This happens around 700 BC. In 586 BC, it happens again to Israel by the Babylonians. And they're hauled off into captivity again. And where three different remnants come back from modern-day Iraq and Iran to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple. Probably 70 or so years later. So the Lord knows how we are as people. If we can do it our own way, we'll do it. If we need to wait upon the Lord and have God help us, that's usually plan B. So what is it like for you? Are you believing and trusting in Jesus as your Savior today? Or are you going through life saying, I like Jesus. I like everything about him. I like hearing about him, but I don't care what any preacher tells me. I'm going to do it my way. I know the right words to say in church, but I'm still going to do it my way and not trust or believe. If you do it your way, my friend, you're going to miss the real meaning of Christmas. You're going to miss the joy that really is meant there to be there for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we sometimes wonder what Christmas is really all about. We get caught up in the busyness of preparation. We get caught up in the planning. And then the day comes. We're so busy, we're so worn out, we kind of wonder what the whole point was. But Lord, we are able to celebrate Christmas and be reminded of Christmas every day of the year, not just one day. That you came to seek and to save sinners, who we are. You came to seek me. You came to find me. You came to save me. That my sins can be forgiven. And you give me a new life to live for you rather than myself. Lord, may you humble us this morning. And to be honest with you and to be honest before you, and for you to examine our hearts and to show us where we really stand with you. Do I really believe that you sent us the Savior into the world? Or is it just a nice story? Lord, I want to believe. And I know I need to be saved. I know my sins are many and I need to be forgiven. Jesus was sent specifically to come for me. I love him. I need him. I invite him into my heart and my life today. Lord, help me to live for you. In a real way. Not in a phony way, but in a real way. In your name I ask, in your name I pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.